John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, joining us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, brought to you by Cowan Gates. What are you and the missus giving out tonight for trick-or-treaters?
Well, we sadly live in an apartment building, so we get no trick-or-treaters because we've got the gated or the door-coded access, so they couldn't get up here if they wanted to. But we're going to go over to my boss's house. He's got the nicer neighborhood, and I don't know what he's handing out, but I'll be in the background having an adult beverage or two.
Are you not bringing candy to give out to the kids?
You know what? Actually, I think at the office we're giving out candy today from what I was rating last night while I was getting prepared for Boston College. There were some Kit Kats in there. There were some Twix in there. There were some Snickers in there. All the things you just mentioned.
Any hot tamales?
You know what? I remember getting hot tamales as a kid. I don't remember liking them too much, but I remember getting pretty much everything. That was up in Minnesota, though.
No, I think Virginia's better than this. I'm not buying the survey, and right now the survey says I would be right. He's John Lazor. He is downing Halloween candy. He is getting ready for Boston College. And in the spirit of Halloween, my friend, Hokie fans right now, a little spooked after what they saw last Thursday, because it was, Halloween pun intended, terrifying. I know it's Georgia Tech, and I know you're only going to see the triple option one time a year, but that was an embarrassment. And it seems simplistic to ask you, but what, based on that overall performance, what concerned you the most about last Thursday?
Well, it was the culmination of all of your fears, but it was also the culmination of everything that you knew going into the season and that you've known for the last few weeks, and that is that you are frighteningly shallow at some of the positions, particularly at the linebacking position. And when you lose Dylan Rivers on the first couple of plays of the game, and then you're relying on Dax Holyfield not in spot duty but in primary duty, and you've got Rico Kearney and you've got Jalen Griffith and some guys that have not had game reps in there, then things get very thin through attrition very quickly. And I didn't obviously like what I saw in the second half in terms of the lack of physicality on the defensive front, because that has been a calling card for decades for this team. And despite the cut blocks and the chop blocks, I'll just go ahead and call them what they are downfield at times, you didn't like the level of fight from this team, and that's not something that you've seen. So, again, you know, it was the culmination of everything that you feared going into the game. Not only did you lose in convincing fashion, but you may have lost some guys, at least for this week. You don't know that yet with Dylan and some of the others. So, yeah, it was certainly not what you were looking for. I think you do take the fact that the unique offense is the triple option, and the Hokies have looked better against conventional offenses, save for North Carolina's run game a couple of weeks ago. So there are concerns, man. I'm not here to sugarcoat it. That's for sure.
No, and I didn't use this term, Lays. I saw this term being used after the Old Dominion game. I saw it being used after the Notre Dame game, and that phrase is, this team is at a crossroads. And I didn't use it after those two losses because I didn't feel this team was at a crossroads.
I used it last night on the game day preview, which will air on the video board. So, yeah.
And that was my question, because it feels like the team's at a crossroads. Why does it feel like it's at a crossroads to you?
Well, you're at a crossroads in a number of ways, because, again, right now you've got everything still in front of you. That might be an indictment on the Coastal Division, but it's true. The Hokies still hold their own destiny in the division, and they also hold probably the best schedule remaining in the division as it pertains to home games. So you can look at it that way and say, okay, we're going to go up. We're going to represent the ACC in the ACC championship game. We're going to continue to beat Virginia for a 15th consecutive year, and we're going to win enough games to go to a bowl game and continue doing that for more than a quarter century. Or you can look at it as, hey, Boston College is coming in. That's probably the worst possible opponent to see from a physical perspective after you got pushed around in your own stadium last week. They've got this premium run game, which they do with the offensive line that has pretty much all grad students and doctoral degree candidates and A.J. Dillon. And after we got blown off the ball last week, that's what we don't want to see. And if that happens early in the game and you get spooked, to use your word again, then, you know, I think that's the fear around here. It starts some sort of a spiral the rest of the way. So not saying that those are the only two paths that this team takes. I can see them not getting the result they're looking for this week and then bouncing back. That's the inconsistency of youth. But right now, I think you're correct. That's the way it feels.
He's John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies. He, Mike Burnup, Andrew Allegretta on the call Saturday starting. Let me see here. It's 2, right? 3:45 kickoff, 2
o'clock.
Yeah,
that was abhorrent math by you. Yeah, 3:45 for the kick. 2 o'clock, you'll be on the air, buddy. And you'll be waking up at my place about 8:15.
I will. My weekend home, as I like to refer to it as. Is Boston College the second best team in the ACC behind Clemson?
Yeah, I think so. What's interesting, man, is we've been on that bandwagon pretty much all season.
Yep.
Miami was slotted in there, but you know, I can go back and watch our first television show. Mikey and I were talking about it. They've been building this for a while, man. You've seen this coming. And I remember Justin Fuente saying after the Hokies got off Chestnut Hill last year with that win, 23-10, that was not pretty in the slightest. You know, they were beat up coming off of it. And a couple of weeks later, after Boston College turned to A.J. Dillon, started using him more effectively, and he said, well, that win's looking more and more impressive now, isn't it? So we were kind of on them early. And, yeah, they've got seniors across both lines. They've got depth in terms of veteran experience, and they've got physicality, which they always seem to have under Steve Adazio. So, yeah, and by the way, I do want to preface, there is a huge gap between Clemson and Boston College and whoever else you may want to put second there, but that's not to discredit Boston College. That's to give due credit to Clemson. They match up next week. I don't expect it to be close.
I don't know how much Boston College you watched this year, if you got to watch any film, but have you watched Wyatt Ray?
Yeah, I have. I've watched a lot of Boston College, actually. Well, yeah, he's fun when you're not playing against him, which we are this week. So, yeah, they've got a lot of guys like that. And it's interesting just, again, what they've been able to build. I give a lot of credit. And Scott Loeffler's a guy that I like a lot. I like being around him. I like his personality. I know all Hokie fans don't share that sentiment, but at the same time, I do. So it's been fun to watch what he's put together. And I know Wyatt's on the other side. But when you look at the opportunities that staff's been given, Jim Reed, over the last couple of years to accumulate these guys and develop these guys, you can appreciate that.
He's John Lazor. He's the voice of the Hokies, joining us, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. I'll let you run on these two here. One, poll question is up. College football playoff rankings come out last night. Are you a 4, a 6, an 8, or should the playoff be 16 schools in your opinion?
4. I don't see any reason to go 8. We're going to have the same debates, just with more mediocre programs.
I totally agree with you. And I know it's going to expand someday, but I don't know why 6 isn't being thrown around more. Wouldn't you want incentive? Like, if you're the top 2, you're going to play 3 games. Like, would you not want some type of incentive to be 1 or 2? Kind of like in baseball when you have that incentive to go win your division. I think the most sensible next move is 6, not 8.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, we wouldn't get into this last year, man. I just feel like there's such a big gulf right now between Alabama, Clemson, and maybe just those two at this point, although you usually throw Ohio State into the mix. I don't think it matters how many teams you have up top, and I don't spend a lot of time losing sleep over it. You know, if it's 4, 6, 8, 64, Alabama's going to win the national title more years than not. Until other programs can find a way to balance the playing field, it's just more television revenue for ESPN and everybody else, and that doesn't wind up in my account, and therefore I'm not too concerned about it.
And finally, the most critical question I ask you, because I know you're such a creative young man and kid, what was your favorite Halloween costume as a youngster?
You're going to like this one. I've known you enough years, Wes, that I knew you were going to ask, so I prepared.
You know I love Halloween.
My actual favorite Halloween costume was Sunshine Bear. Me and my brother and sister went as the Care Bears one year. My sister was the pink one, my brother was the brown one, and I was the yellow one. Rainbow Bear, I think my brother was. And he just got engaged yesterday, so now's a good time for that happiness in his life. And my sister was the pink one. I can't remember which one she was. But my favorite Halloween costume that you'll appreciate had the trash can and everything. I was Oscar the Grouch.
I'm just trying to think how much money I could donate to your favorite charity to acquire pictures of those two things.
Oh, I've got that, man. Oh. Yeah, I was looking at that not too long ago.
What a gem. I got to find. I'm gonna first of all tell your brother congratulations, and B, please send photos because I would love to see you three as the Care Bears, knowing all three of you.
We got it.
All right, John Lazor. I will see you on Friday. We will talk to you and be listening on Saturday with coverage beginning at 2:00. Happy Halloween to you and the missus.
Happy Halloween to you and Danny and the missus as well.
Thank you, buddy. John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates.